All right. Well, good morning.
Morning.
Very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you. The Faith in Wrestling message that you're going to hear today is one that has transformed my own life, my own faith. And I honestly get excited every time I have opportunities like this to travel the country and to share it with others. But let me begin by just sharing a little bit about myself. I live in Minnesota. I'm married. I have four children. I'm also the author of a few books. So my first book, Faith in Wrestling, was the book that started this journey. It was a 2015 number one Amazon new release. It's been used as a Bible study resource for high school and college wrestling programs around the country, as well as the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And even a number of churches, in recognizing the value of faith in wrestling, have been using it as well. I became a Christian at a very young age. And around that same time is when I entered the sport of wrestling. So both faith and wrestling have been a significant part of my life for as long as I can remember. As a wrestler, I experienced a great deal of success in my youth. I went on to win a couple state titles in high school, but unfortunately, success did not follow me into college. So after injuries and a lack of passion, I regrettably ended my wrestling career shortly after my freshman year. But I later went back to school, earned a degree in theology, and then later a master's degree. And somewhere along the way, my love for wrestling rekindled. And it merged into a vision of how I have come to view the Christian faith. So today, I'm going to share just a brief introduction into the faith and wrestling message. And so we're going to look at the story of Jacob wrestling with God, found in the book of Genesis. And within this process of sharing with you the powerful message of faith and wrestling is a message that I call the faith of a wrestler. It is my belief that the faith of a wrestler is not just for those who have experienced life as a competitor on the mat. It's for everybody. And my hope is that I can help you see that today. So to get us started, I'm going to share a story that will hopefully provide a little bit of understanding in terms of what I mean when I talk about the faith of a wrestler. When I was 20 years old, I went to a Christian versus atheist debate at the University of Minnesota. And the subject of the debate, does God exist? A couple of my friends were students at the university, so I met them in their dorm room, and then we took a long walk across campus to where the debate would be held. Well, this debate was held in a large lecture hall. And while it was well-suited for college lectures, it probably wasn't the best fit for a debate of this type. A lot of people showed up, and there were not enough seats to accommodate. So while my friends and I were able to find some seats, there were a lot of people who were sitting on the floor along the aisle, as well as in the back of the room. Well, the debate started off cordial. Both the Christian and atheist speaker gave their opening arguments, and the room was pretty quiet as the audience just listened. It wasn't until the rebuttal portion of the debate that things got a little weird. You see, it was at that time that you started to notice who in the audience was there in support of whom. So for instance, you knew who the Christians were in the audience, because every time the Christian speaker would provide a rebuttal or a snarky comment, the Christians in the audience would cheer and holler. And you knew who the skeptics and atheists were, because every time the atheist speaker would provide a rebuttal or a snarky comment, the skeptics and atheists in the audience would cheer and holler. I felt like I was at a sporting event rather than this religious intellectual debate. And it was the atheist speaker's comment that really stuck out to me. At one point in the debate, he's pointing at the Christian speaker, and he says, "You can debate me all you want about science, history, and philosophy, but you will never convince me that an all-loving God exists in the same world as cancer." It didn't occur to me right away, but it planted a seed of something I would consider more fully later on. And that is, maybe the issue of faith and belief is not primarily intellectual. Maybe what we're dealing with is a matter of the heart, as well as our whole being. Maybe it's a relationship with room to wrestle. You see, we are not merely rational beings. We are also beings of emotion, conscience, spirit, and will. And all of these aspects contribute to a step of faith and belief. Also, the issues of faith tend to be more existential and emotional than they are intellectual. Take, for instance, the problem of suffering and evil. The suffering and struggles of life affect us more when we experience them. And when you're in the midst of it, no matter what sort of rational explanation you can provide, it's not going to take away the pain. And when it comes to faith, those of us who are Christians cannot simply rely on intellectual arguments to convince others of the truth of the gospel. We cannot convince others of the truth of the gospel simply through these intellectual arguments. And if we're going to What's being offered is not just simply these propositions to think about. What's being offered is a relationship, a new life, a new reality, a new way in which to see and approach the world. And embracing the Christian faith through the lens of a wrestler is really acknowledging this central component, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So just as we experience times in other relationships, so we experience times of wrestling with God. But here's the thing, what's remarkable about this freedom to wrestle in relationships is the opportunity to grow in intimacy and in trust. The relationships actually have the potential to grow stronger. And the same is true for our relationship with God. So we're going to look at the story of Jacob wrestling with God. But before we do it, let me just offer you a little brief context of what took place prior to Jacob's wrestling match with God. You see, prior to Jacob wrestling with God, Jacob had stolen the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau. And he stole the blessing in particular by pretending to be Esau to their father Isaac. Well, Jacob is caught immediately. He runs away in fear for his life. So at this point, he's been away for many years. He's married. He has children. And now God is calling him back to his homeland to be reconciled with his brother. So let's take a look at it. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. As he wrestled with the man, then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. So the first thing we want to look at regards a challenge for faith. You see, the man, or God, asked Jacob his name in the course of the wrestling match. And Jacob responds, "Jacob." This question and response relates back to the very deception performed by Jacob when accepting the blessing from his father. You see, what I didn't tell you was that Jacob was asked twice by his father regarding his name. And Jacob said his name was Esau. Jacob was essentially denying his own identity in that moment. But really, why is God asking for his name? You see, Jacob's name and God asking for his name is a challenge. Jacob's wrestling with God is a confrontation with God. It's a gospel of sorts that demands a response. It's an opportunity for Jacob to produce a response of faith, a response that required Jacob to be honest about who he was before God. So when Jacob responds this time that his name is Jacob, God then blesses him and changes his name to Israel, signifying a new creation, a new identity. Just as we are new creations in Christ when we embrace the gospel, so is Jacob a new creation in God. And here's something that's really cool and really important for us to understand, is that this name change, this name, Israel, became not only a new name and identity for Jacob, but for every follower of God that preceded him. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that God's people in the Old Testament are often referred to as Israel, or the Israelites, which literally means one who wrestles with God, the God wrestlers. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, when writing to the church, continues this symbolic nature of this name and understanding. So what does this mean? This means that God actually desires those who encounter him to genuinely embrace him, which means we have to wrestle with him. We have to take him seriously. You don't wrestle in relationships that you don't care about. By wrestling with God, you are opening yourself up to him. You're allowing him to impact your life and your understanding of everything else. So with this in mind, we also want to look at the physical wrestling that takes place in this story, because it corresponds to this challenge for faith. You see, Jacob was wrestling internally. So the actual act of wrestling served as a mirror of what was taking place within him. You see, Jacob had created a life of chaos, and he knew that the blessings of God represent divine order in life, where relationships are reconciled and where life itself is under the care and direction of God. Jacob wanted these blessings, but he wanted them on his terms. So before God asks his name, Jacob demands God's blessings. And Jacob's demand is telling of the human experience, isn't it? We all do this. We all desire God's blessings, but we try to obtain them in a way that allows us to maintain authority and control of our lives. Let me say that again. We all desire God's blessings, but we try to obtain them in a way that allows us to maintain authority and control of our lives. So, We wrestle with him. And God graciously allows this wrestling to happen with the hope of producing faith. Or if faith is already alive within the individual, the hope or process is to deepen that faith, deepen that relationship. I want you to notice something else. Jacob's hip is impaired in the very beginning of their wrestling match. So Jacob wasn't just wrestling with God, he was wrestling with an injury. And as a former wrestler, let me tell you, wrestling with an injury is difficult. It is a significant obstacle. Sometimes you can fight through it. Sometimes you simply can't. It sidelines you. It takes you out of the match. And how this relates to us is that we are all injured due to sin. Our wrestling with God takes place within a life that has been affected by sin. And I am by no means suggesting that since God is the one who injures Jacob's hip in the story, that God is a part of our sin, part of sin's entry in our life. No. But I am suggesting that sin is a part of our struggle with God. And in addition to this, all of us have experienced some level of pain and suffering in this life. Pain is often the dichotomy in our effort with him. It both pushes us away from him at times, as well as draws us to him. But when we choose to embrace God, the pain we have experienced turns into scars. God heals our pain, but the pain leaves its mark, and we do not forget it. The scars serve as a reminder of our commitment to him. And if you're familiar with the story of Jacob, you know that he maintains his injury for the remainder of his life. So if he ever found himself forgetting about his wrestling match with God, his scar, his injured hip, would remind him of his struggle and his eventual decision to commit to God. Now, there are a lot of things we could extract from this story. We're just going to look at one more. The initiation of God. You see, God is the initiator of the wrestling match, not Jacob. And the same is true for us. It's not us who walk through life and at some point turn towards God in hopes of reconciliation. No. When it comes to the God of the Bible, it's him who comes to us. And why does he initiate? He initiates out of love, because God is love. 1 John 4:8 states that God is love. The God of the Bible is not like anything we could imagine. He's not the type of God who sits atop the universe trying to convince people to come to him or wait for people to come to him. He's the type of God who comes down into our world and wrestles with us. So we are merely responding to him. God is the initiator of the wrestling match for each of our lives. And he's not just wrestling with your intellect. He wants all of you. Now, just as a side note, the amazing thing about the Bible is that it doesn't just leave us with the story of Jacob wrestling with God. It provides us a prototype, a model of what the faith of a wrestler looks like. And we see it in the person of Jesus. When it comes to the context of wrestling with the fallen aspects of life, Jesus was the greatest wrestler of all time. I encourage you, read the Gospels, especially the temptation story, as well as Jesus' painful journey to the cross, in which Jesus faces the universal temptations and sufferings of life. Read it through the lens of a wrestler. It will transform your faith. Hebrews 4:15 states that God knows our weakness, because in Christ, he was tempted in all the same ways we are, Again, the God of the Bible is one that loves and values us so much that he willingly comes to us and he wrestles with us and he wrestles for us. And as Christians, we believe that Christ came and did exactly this. Now, I want to take this full circle. I want to share with you a personal time of wrestling in my own life. I experienced many battles on the mat, but one of the most difficult times of wrestling in my life did not occur on a wrestling mat. But first, I have to wrestle these papers. So I shared in the beginning that I have 4 children. But what you might not know is that my oldest daughter is from a previous marriage. I was in the midst of studying theology at Bethel University when I acquired my first pastoral job with still a year left in my studies. My wife at the time grew very cold and distant right away. And one night she said we needed to talk. So we put our daughter to bed. She was just a baby at the time. Walked back downstairs, sat on the couch. She looked me in the eyes and said, "Mike, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I've been thinking about this for several months and realized that I don't love you. I never did." Upstairs, she went back upstairs, grabbed her sleeping daughter, jumped in the car, drove to her parents, and never came back. The church found out sometime after and asked me to step down. But realizing that I was in a great deal of pain, that I still had another semester left in my studies, and that finding another job at that time would be very difficult, they offered to pay me the same, but have me join the maintenance staff. I didn't know what else to do, so I took it. So in a week's time, I went from pastoral leadership to scrubbing toilets. Many nights driving in the car, weeping, I would cry out to God for him to fix things and make them right again. But my circumstances never changed. I stopped going to church in protest to God for allowing this suffering to occur in my life. But one night while I was working, I kept hearing his voice saying, "I miss you, Mike. I want to see you." And every time I heard it, a vision of a church I had gone to for years kept surfacing in my mind. So still hurt and confused, I reluctantly went. I walked into the church that night and immediately felt uncomfortable. Kept thinking to myself, did I make a mistake in coming? But I walked in, tried to avoid eye contact with anybody, sat down in a chair by myself. Well, years ago, there was a worship song that I declared was mine and God's song. I called it this because every time I heard it, every time I sang the words, I always, always felt the closeness of his presence. Well, believe it or not, I'm sitting in that chair, and the worship band starts playing that song. And as I listened, as I tried to sing the words, I heard his voice again, saying, "Mike, I know none of this makes any sense, but I still love you." I immediately began to cry. And it was the strangest feeling. I felt so much love in the midst of so much pain. That night was a turning point for me. From that moment on, I knew that God was enough for me. He was enough to wake up each morning. He was enough to keep breathing. He was the very air in my lungs. So I want to close with a couple action items for you, things for you to think about and consider. The first is this: embrace the faith of a wrestler. Embrace the faith of a wrestler, a faith that embraces the consequences of what it means to be in a relationship with God. A relationship that requires times of struggle, yet a relationship that offers the opportunity for deeper intimacy and trust in God. And the second is this: approach and embrace others with the faith of a wrestler. We live in a fallen world. The issues that people face on a daily basis are real and pervasive. There are a number of people who need to encounter God, not through scientific, philosophical, or theological arguments, but through a personal wrestling match with Him. And this is true whether they know God or have yet to encounter Him, whether they're Christian or have yet to encounter the gospel. Help others embrace their own wrestling match with God. A wrestling match that I guarantee you, God has surely already begun in their lives. We are all wrestlers in the faith, and I hope you join me in that. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here at Two Rivers Church. I pray that you would continue to be present with us throughout this day. And I pray that those hearing this message this morning would choose to embrace the faith of a wrestler and embrace others with the faith of a wrestler. In your name we pray. Amen.